Amen. And you can be seated. Whew, y'all, we could go on home. We had church already. It's not going to stop me from preaching, though. Man, that's good. All right. Man, I always feel a little tired when I get to move it up a little bit. So, can I go? Children's Church, kindergarten through sixth grade, they're headed out. Headed out. Whew. I had to take a minute. It gets you right here when you hear your kids pray. Mm. All right, so it's Easter. Man, I love Resurrection Sunday. And I know we have all kinds of traditions, and we're going to be doing some egg hunts today with your family. You get to eat with your family, and those are great things. And you know, I've learned something new about Easter eggs. Y'all want to hear about it? Yeah. Okay. So Easter eggs, where they came from, I always thought they were pagan, but they're really not. It actually comes from our Catholic brothers and sisters. Okay. And so they would have Lent, and they wouldn't get to eat animal proteins, and so they would have all these eggs. And the way they would keep them is they would boil them. That way they wouldn't spoil. And at the end of Lent, then they would go out and they would pass all these eggs out because they would have an abundance. And so then it started where they would paint them, because then it started to be a painted egg. So they would pass them out as a celebration for the end of a fast. And as I thought about that, it made me think about how incredible it is for us on an Easter Sunday like today, a Resurrection Sunday, that all of our life we went without until we met our Jesus. And then the fast was over. And so for us, as you hunt those eggs, just know that it's a time that we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus. We celebrate that he is more than enough. But in this story, in this account that we're going to see in Matthew, starting in verse 26, we're going to go through several different small passages. You see several different reactions to who Jesus is. And I'm going to say in our culture, we see different reactions to who Jesus is. And we'll see some of the same ones that we see here in Matthew starting in 26 and 27. We're going to see some familiar reactions. How do people react? You know, Jesus one time asked, "Who do people say that I am?" And they had all these responses. And Peter finally says, "You are the Christ, the promised one, the Messiah. You're the one that's going to bring salvation." And so here's the question, really. Who do you say Jesus is? And whoever you believe that he is will determine your reaction to him. When he comes to you, when he confronts you, or when you're confronted with his truth, who you believe he is will determine how you react. Let's start in Matthew 26, 55 through 56. This is when they come to arrest him. And they're coming to arrest him at night, because they're scared to arrest him in the daytime where everyone is, and they're scared there may be a little bit of a rebellion, but they come at night. So in 55, Jesus said, "At that time, Jesus spoke to the crowd. 'Am I leading a band of armed men against you?' he asked. 'Do you have to come out with swords and clubs to capture me?' He says, 'Every day I sat in the temple courtyard teaching, and you didn't arrest me. But all this has happened so that the words of the prophets would come true.'" Now watch the reactions of his followers, of his disciples. "Then all the disciples left him and ran away." What we see his first reaction is that they left. They understood Jesus to be maybe something a little bit different. They thought Jesus was going to be this conquering king where he was going to come and kick out the Roman government. Now, Jesus will come back as a conquering king, but the first time he came, he was not going to be a conquering king in the sense of conquering, kicking out the Roman government. He was going to come as a conquering king to stomp out sin. But they wanted him to be a political leader. And then when the government comes to arrest him and he turns out to be something that they didn't think he should be, what did they do? They left. In fact, when things got hard, they ran. It says they left and they ran away. They didn't just leave, they ran away. In other places, you'll see there was even a guy who they grabbed, and he just left his clothes and ran away naked. How about that? That means you won't get away bad, don't you? He just ran right out of his clothes. In our culture now, in our culture today, we have an idea who Jesus should be. And when he doesn't turn out to be what we think he should be, a lot of times our tendency is to run away, to leave, to say, well, I thought that you were going to be this, but because you're not, I'm not going to follow you. Well, we'll see another reaction in further down in 64. He says, you have said so, Jesus replied, but here's what I say to all of you. From now on, you will see the Son of Man sitting on the right hand of the Mighty One. You will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven. And the response to Jesus declaring who he was, the response of the high priest were this. Then the high priest tore his clothes, and that's a sign of mourning, of sorrow, of being tremendously upset. He said, he has spoken a very evil thing against God. Why do we need any more witnesses? You have heard him say this evil thing. What do you think? He must die, they answered. Then they spit in his face. They hit him with their fists. Others slapped him. They said, prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? And the response to, I am the Son of God, I am the Son of Man, and you will see me high and lifted up, really saying, I'm going to be your high priest. I'm the Messiah. First, the priests were angry. They tore their clothes. Man, this is what we see in our culture so much. Jesus declares who he is, and people get upset when he declares who he is, because he is a holy God and he wants us to be holy. But he says, look, God is holy, so you be holy like I'm holy, is what he says. I want you to be separated. I want you to be different. And they got angry. How many times do we as a people get angry because God declares who he really is? Declares that we should be holy, declares that we should be set apart. In fact, if you look, it says the priest tried to turn the truth into a lie. What did Jesus say? He says, I am the Messiah. And here they said, oh, he's spoken an evil thing. Man, it so rings in my head, just our society, as people will say, how can he be a loving God if he would send people to hell? Truth is, he doesn't send anybody to hell. He makes a way for us to be saved from hell. Amen. Or if he says, I want you to be holy as I'm holy. Look, I'm the creator. I made things. I know how things work. And when it goes against his rule and his authority, when it goes against what we think, what we want, our desires, all of a sudden we say, hold on. Obviously, God doesn't have this figured out. We know better than him. That's why we allow our bodies to be destroyed. That's why some people are under a lie, thinking that they know better than God when they look at their bodies and say, I should be this instead of that. It's sad. We should feel sorrow for them because they're just blind. The same way these priests were blind. So they're angry, and in their anger, they say, that can't be the truth. I know the truth, is what they're saying. The same thing that we see in our culture. Jesus can't be the truth, because if he's true, then I'm wrong. And then he tried to undermine the authority of Jesus. Did you see what they did? They would spit in his face, and they would hit him, and they would slap him, as they were all gathered around, and what'd they say? Prophesy to us, Messiah. Who hit you? If you know everything, if you know everything that's going on, you tell us who just hit you. Prophesy. If you're really God, you perform for us. God doesn't perform for us. But we want him to. And here in this place where the Pharisees are so angry, we can be angry with God because we're like, God, I thought you were going to do this and you didn't do this. And you say, God, if you don't answer this prayer, I'm done with you. You've ever heard anybody pray that? If you don't answer this time, if you don't give me this, if you don't give me that, I'm finished with you. And the heartbreak of the Father has to be tremendous because he knows what's best for us. In the same way as parents, is your four-year-old says, I need a loaded gun today, right now, to play with. You're like, no, I want it now. No, you're not going to get it. You can have this toy gun. That's what you're ready for. God knows what will destroy us. And sometimes when we ask for things, God says you can't have those things because those things will destroy you. As a father, I know, can you imagine the heartbreak? The same heartbreak I think of that four-year-old as he asks for that loaded gun and you say no and he's angry and he's mad and you just don't, all the lies come out. You just don't trust me. You don't believe in me. All those things. And then finally as he walks off, I just hate you. Undermining the authority of the parent here, undermining the authority of Jesus. If you don't answer, then you must not be God. You see this same response as he's on the cross. He said he could save others, let him save himself. The same undermining. Just because God doesn't work the way that we think he should work doesn't mean he's not still the authority of our life. And so here further, we see his friend again. Now his friend Peter had promised Jesus. Jesus said, look, I'm going to go. And I'm where I'm going, you can't follow. And Peter says, no matter where you go, I will follow you. And Jesus said, listen, I love you, but you're going to deny me three times. And Peter said, there's no way. And he's denied him, but where we're going to pick up, he's denied. Peter has denied Christ twice. Jesus is under arrest. He is on trial. They said, weren't you with him? He said, no. And the last denial is in the last part of 26. Another reaction to Jesus. It says, then Peter began to curse and said to them, I don't know the man. Didn't even call him Jesus. I don't know the man. Right away the rooster crowed. Then Peter remembered what Jesus said. The rooster will crow. Jesus had told him, before it does, you will say three times that you don't know me. Peter went outside. He broke down and cried. In this time of arrest, in this time where things were hard, where it wasn't working out the way that it should work out, the way that Peter had it in his mind. Again, Jesus is not the person that he thought he should be. He wasn't the leader that he thought he should be. At this point, Jesus' friend didn't want to even associate with him. Like, don't even put our names together. Don't put our names together. And in the world today, isn't it real easy as the world pushes against who Jesus is and they try to undermine his authority? Is there being angry because the truth of the scripture goes against the evil desires of our flesh? And so the world's pushing. Isn't it easy to say, I don't know him? And maybe we don't say it out loud with our lips, but we just pretend that we don't know him. I don't know if you've ever done this. Have you ever been somewhere parents where both parents are together and one child's acting crazy and you're responsible for the good one and the bad one's over there and you just kind of walk off? Anybody ever done that? It's just us. Like, we don't know who that is. You don't want to be associated. You know, you're looking at them going, what are they, you know? And so in that same way, we don't want to be associated. We don't want our name associate. It's not that we curse him, we just act like we don't know him. But it goes further. Not only did he not want to just be associated, just walk away and act like he didn't know him, it said that he even cursed and denied. He would rather hide his light with a lie and a curse. The lie was he didn't know him. And the curse, we don't know what the word was. Peter had a bad habit of cussing. So if you have a bad habit of cussing, you're in good shape with Peter, okay? Good company. Not saying you don't be cussing in the lobby, though. I mean, it has happened, but we discourage it, okay? So we don't know what it was, but he would rather hide his light with a lie and a curse. You remember the old song, This Little Light of Mine? Remember what it says? Hide it under a bushel. What goes next? No! You remember that? Real animated? Well, that comes from a scripture where Jesus says, no one lights a candle or a lantern and hides it under a bushel or hides it under something. That the light was meant to what? Shine. And in this moment, Peter, in the distress of the moment, hid his acknowledgement, his association with Jesus. And it's because at this moment he had forgotten the power of Jesus. How did he forget the power? Because he misunderstood who Jesus was. Jesus didn't act the way that he thought he should act. And in that he said, you can't be. I don't understand. And he's lost. And he goes, I don't understand how Jesus is supposed to be power. He's supposed to be the Christ. He's supposed to be Messiah. But now he's on trial. They're beating him. They're making fun of him. And he's just taking it. How can he be the authority that I thought he would be? Again, those questions that we have. Jesus, you hadn't done this in my life, and this is going wrong in my life, and this not turned out the way that I thought it should be. How can I know that you really are the Christ? And in that, we don't want to associate with him. In fact, we try to hide our light with a lie and a curse to the people around us because we've gotten to a place where we're not sure if Jesus is all-powerful. Then we get to 27, and we come to a guy named Pilate. Now, Pilate, he tried in some ways to set Jesus free. He tried politically. Some people might say he tried to manipulate the situation, but he was in charge. He could have put a stop to it. He could have said the man could go free. And the last step that he did was to try to appease the crowd, because when you try to appease the crowd, you're in trouble. You know that? The crowd usually is never right. Okay? And so he's trying to, and he gives the murderer Barabbas up, and then Jesus is here. And in this Passover time, it was a custom to let one go free. And so Pilate said, which one do you want? And the crowd said, give us Barabbas. He's like, what has this man done wrong? And it says they got louder. Give us Barabbas. Again, Pilate's in charge. Pilate could have taken a step and just released Jesus. But here's what happened in 24. Pilate said that he wasn't getting anywhere with these people. Instead, the crowd was starting to get angry. So he took water and he washed his hands in front of them. I'm not guilty of this man's death. That's a lie. And he said, you are accountable for that. Pilate refused to take a stand. He let the crowd dictate who Jesus was to him. Man, it's so easy to get caught up in the crowd and who the crowd says that Jesus is, isn't it? It's easy to get caught up in the crowd and the crowd's pushing and saying, Jesus just was a good man. He was just a good prophet. He really didn't teach on this. He really didn't teach on that. And the crowd's pushing and demanding and screaming, give us Barabbas. It's really hard to take a stand. But I think that's why Jesus, or not Jesus, but later in the New Testament says, hey, you got to make sure you've got your right shoes on. You know the shoes that they would wear as a soldier? They were like cleats. They had nails. You know why? So you could take a stand. So you wouldn't slip. So you wouldn't fall. So you could take a stand. And here, Pilate didn't take a stand. In fact, he just let things happen. He says, hey, this is not on me. His death's not on, but it is. Pilate had the power. He just let things happen. And for us, in our culture, it's really easy not to take a stand as we look at the crowd, as they scream about who Jesus is, and that we just let things happen. We don't get involved. We don't try to intervene with the gospel in any way. We just let things happen. Again, the only reason that Pilate let things just happen because he didn't believe in the power of Jesus Christ, that he really was the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Heard somebody say this the other day. A lot of times that we're just silent and we let things just happen and we don't share our testimony because we don't have a testimony. You can't share something you don't have. And so in this moment, we see Pilate, he can't take a stand because he doesn't have a testimony to stand on. He doesn't have a faith to stand on. And so all he could do is let things happen around him. And because he would not take a stand, the soldiers get him. And in 29 it says, then they, the soldiers, twisted thorns together to make a crown. And they placed it on his head. And they put a stick in his right hand. And they fell on their knees in front of him and made fun of him. We honor you, King of the Jews, they said. They spit on him. They hit him on the head with the stick again and again. The soldiers mocked who he said he was. Jesus said, this is who I am, the Son of God, the Son of Man. I'll be at the right hand of God the Father. I am the high priest. I am the great I am. He says that. He says, I am the great I am. And here they're making fun of, mocking who he said he was. Man, this is a great defense to push Jesus away from you, is to make fun of him, to make fun of the things that he said, the things that he did, to keep him at an arm's length. People do this all the time. You see this again and again. It's becoming more and more common within our media that they make fun of Jesus so that they can keep Jesus at an arm's length and also undermine his authority. Undermine it. But the soldiers mocked him in a way that was different, that really is very striking. The soldiers acted like Jesus was king, pretended, but they really hated him. They made a throne or a crown of thorns for him, didn't they? They twisted the thorns together to make this crown. Not like a wreath like you normally see, but more like a helmet. Because that's what crowns were. Crowns covered your whole head. And so not just that they would pierce around, but they would pierce the entire head. And so as they would hit him again and again, they were pressing those thorns into the top of his head. The soldiers acted like Jesus was king, but they really hated him. How many people act as if Jesus is king, but secretly they hate him? You may even be here today that you come to church and you've come to church your whole life, month after month, week after week, and you know all the right things to say. Just like here, they placed the crown on his head and they gave him a stick, like a royal stick or diadem there to hold that. They even knew to fall on their knees in front of him. And we do all those things, but in our heart we hate him. And why do we hate him? Because we love our flesh more than we love our Christ. We would rather fulfill and satisfy our flesh than to live in the power of the Spirit. And with all those reactions and all those things that happen, Matthew 28 and 2 and 4, and then we'll hit a little further down to finish. But it says this, there was a powerful earthquake. And an angel of the Lord came down from heaven, and the angel went to the tomb. And the angel, he rolled the stone and sat on it. His body shone like lightning. His clothes were as white as snow. The guards were so afraid of him that they shook and became like dead men. The soldiers, not even seeing Christ, but the power of the angels, their reaction were to fall like dead men. Out of all the reactions that we saw from all these people, from the arrest to the crucifixion, here's what we know. The resurrection still happened. No matter what Pilate did, no matter what Peter did, no matter what the crowd said, no matter what the crowd demanded, no matter what anybody said, thought, no matter what they demanded that he do, no matter how they tried to rule over him, none of those affected the resurrection. The resurrection still happened. And today we celebrate an empty tomb. Jesus still left an empty tomb for us to go visit if you want to go see it today. It's still empty. No matter how they felt. And so this is what it tells us. We don't get a say on who Jesus is. This is why we went through all these things. We don't get to tell Jesus who he's supposed to be. Jesus tells us who we are supposed to be. You see how twisted we get it? We put ourselves as being most important. What I think, what I understand, what I think Jesus should do, what I think he should do, what I think he should think, what I think he should say is wrong, and what I think he should say is right. And we try to make Jesus into what we want him to be, and those things can't happen. As much as these people didn't want him to be Christ, the Messiah, he still rose from the grave. Amen. In the same way, none of us here get to say, none of us here get to tell Jesus who he is supposed to be. And some of us are far from God today because we still think that we can tell Jesus what to do. Can I put it a little blunt? We're angry because Jesus isn't our prostitute. You know what that means? Prostitute does what you want for what you give. We think, oh, we come to church, we read the Bible, we do that. Jesus should do what I want him to do and pleasure me how I want him to pleasure me, and when he doesn't, I'm mad. And so God, Jesus, is far, 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 far from us because we think our pleasure is more important than his sacrifice. We don't get a say in who Jesus is. He is independent of us. The scripture tells us this is what we are. Apart from Jesus Christ, we're sinful, we're wicked, we're evil. Our flesh lusts and desires after things that are ungodly. And apart from Jesus Christ, we die and go to hell. And now you can see why the world is angry. You're telling me I'm going to hell? I think I'm a pretty good person. But the scripture says there's no one that's good, not one, that everyone like sheep have gone astray. All of us. But the world is angry. I'm a good person. I've done good things. I've helped people. I may have never accepted Jesus, but I'm still a good person. Jesus even said, there's no one that's good. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. This is what the scripture tells us that we are. This is who God tells us that we are. But the scripture goes further to tell us this, that the gift of God is eternal life. That if we will confess Jesus, this Jesus here, as master, as boss, as Lord, you know what that means? That means he gets to be the boss. You don't tell the boss what to do. The boss tells you what to do. He gets to be the boss. And so we have to flip our understanding, some of us, of who Jesus is, and understand that we're angry at the wrong person if we're angry. If we're angry at God, really we should be angry at ourselves because your flesh has lied to you. God has your best and his glory in mind. In fact, the scripture says this, that everyone who follows him, he works all things together for our good. If
for our good and his glory. You're like, but it's not good. Well, a few things. Aren't you following Christ? He works all things together for the good of those who follow him. Are you following Christ? Some of us are like, well, it'd be like somebody that's in a financial bind. But then they're stealing money at work. And so then they're like, God, you hadn't fixed this problem. He's like, I can't fix this problem because you're living in sin. I can't reward you for doing the wrong thing. Amen. Are you following Christ? And here's the thing. If it's not good, the scripture says, if you're following him and if it's not good, then God's not done. That we follow him now and then God works in us and works in our life. And this is why we celebrate the resurrection, because what we see here in the Bible, what he tells us that we are, that we're wicked, we're far apart from here, we're not good, but Jesus Christ, while we were still dead in our trespasses and our sin and our wickedness, while we were still living according to the flesh, it says that he died for us. This is incredible. I mean, there are people on this earth I would die for. I'd take a bullet for. But you want to know the truth in my heart? There's some people I wouldn't walk across the street for. Some of y'all are looking, you can't say that. It's true, and y'all do the same. And if you told me I had to die for them, I'd say they're in bad luck. But that's the story of the gospel. That when we were still dead in our trespasses and sin and separated from God and not deserving anything that we should, anything that he could ever give us, it says he died for us. Amen. The sorry, no good, worm, wretched me, he died for. Amen. The angel that shined, it says this, but the angel said to the woman, do not be afraid, for I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified. Listen. He is not here, for he is risen. As he said, come and see the place where he laid. It's empty. So the response today, here's what I want to know as we finish this Easter Sunday, this Resurrection Sunday. Who do you say that Jesus Christ is? And not who do you just say that he is. What do your actions reveal? Because your actions speak louder than your words. And we saw the responses of all these people to Christ. Who do you say that Jesus is? Now I love, we saw where Peter, here he is. He rejected Jesus, didn't he? His friend rejected him. But when he resurrected, he told the ladies this. Go tell my disciples and Peter. Hold on. Peter was one of the disciples. Why did he say this? Go tell my disciples and Peter that I'm risen. Because no matter what your response is, no matter where you are today, you don't have to stay there. I love the dance. Didn't y'all love the dance? And you may not realize this, but these ribbons, these dark ribbons that they wore, were the sins that they carried. Now, I want you to notice where they left them. At the altar. And this is Easter, that you come to the feet of the master, of the king, of the boss. You come to the altar and you leave your sin there because he's already paid for it. If we carry it, we're carrying something that he's already paid for. He said, I have paid for your sin. I paid for your shame. I've paid for the wickedness. I paid for the evil desires and the lust that you carry. I paid those things. All those things we carry Here's the weird thing. They were placed on Jesus. They're His. He paid for them on the cross. And if you carry them, you're paying, or you're carrying something that's already been paid for. And if you carry them to the grave, you'll carry them to hell. But Jesus says, you come and leave them at the altar. Make me boss, make me Lord. That's the right response. Like the woman that was a prostitute that came to Jesus. She was used up. Her life was destroyed. And she came to the feet of Jesus while He ate. And it says she cleaned His feet and dried them with her own hair. The glory, that's what your, ladies, that's what your hair is called, the glory, her glory. The most, the best part. The feet are the least. And wiped the least, not that there's a least, but in that society, the least, with her best, and poured out perfume on His feet. She was used to being used up by men that didn't love her. Well, watch this. But she poured her life out to the one who did. Will you pour your life out? Church, you stand and respond. I'll be over here, and Brandon will be on this side if you want to come and talk with us. Mr. Ed, if you'll be back here in case somebody wants to come to the back and talk. We can't save you, but we can point you to Jesus. We can tell you what He said. The greatest prayer of salvation I think I ever heard was a man who said, I'm not worth a darn, but Jesus, if you want me, I want you. Lord Father, I come to you. I thank you for today. I thank you for Resurrection Sunday, that you're alive, and because you're alive, you have made us alive. Thank you that you loved me in my sin, my trespasses, my wickedness. Lord, help us to see us for who we really are. Are we just mocking you? Are we just saying that you are king, but really acting as if you're not? Lord, Father, are we at a place where we demand that you do something, and when you don't, we're angry and mad? Lord, has life gotten hard? And because life is hard, we've run from you. Lord, wherever we are, I pray that you would meet us. Holy Spirit, reveal to each of us where we stand. Church, you respond as the Spirit moves.